Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2, please. The Apostle Paul writes by the Holy Spirit, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem himself, esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others." You know, just for a moment there, if you, in context, look at how much of the New Testament epistles in particular are written to encourage our hearts to love one another, it's almost ridiculous how much ink God spends on that, on the brethren loving one another, on the love being received from God, and on the brethren loving one another. He just spends, there's a lot of ink expended on the Holy Spirit, through his apostles, speaking to the churches how important it is that we love one another, that we care for others' needs as well, that we love one another. You know, God has selected us from our various backgrounds. God has put us together, and the apostles rained down the idea of making sure that you care for one another, making sure that you love one another. It's like vitally important, because the church can never be the church without it. And I will tell you something, ignoring one another is not loving one another. Kind of think about that, right? Loving one another is, it's an action word. Love is an action word. Love is an action. Love is a thing we do. Loving one another means I'm looking at you and I'm seeing that you're here, so you have this essence of faith in Jesus Christ in you. Therefore, I'm commanded to love you. So verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you." And what mind are we talking about? I think he just described it. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, is there any? Fulfill my joy, he says, by being like-minded, thinking alike, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem himself better, others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the mind. That's the mind. Let this mind be in you, because it was, he says here, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind that was in Christ Jesus. I'm coming to serve you, to show you the mind of God, the love of God, to care for you. Let that mind be in you. He said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Basically, he's saying he was equal with God. He's God, right? When he was in the form of God, he was equal with God. He is God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. When Jesus was in the form of God. He had so much power, so much glory, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. But, made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. That means he became like us. He made himself of no reputation. He was born in a barn, right? Born in a manger, born in a barn, made himself of no reputation. God the Son, with all the glory and all the splendor of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God when in that form, but made himself of no reputation, becoming one of us. It's crazy. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I know you're great. I know you got crowns. I know you wear your crowns. Your crowns of your identity, your crowns of your ego, your crowns of your position, your crowns of your achievement, all of those crowns. I know you have crowns, but be like Jesus. Have the same mind that Jesus had, making himself of no reputation, becoming a bondservant, casting his crown. Casting his crown, you see? And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Pastor Bruce Gunkel, last week, one of the things that he said that was a good jolt to me, that was a good remembrance, that Jesus didn't come down and use his God power. Jesus did not come down as a superhero with healing powers. He came down as a human being, and he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power of the Holy Spirit that was available to Jesus for healing and for delivering is available to you and me. No different. No different. Jesus didn't come as a superhero. He wasn't Captain America. He wasn't Spider-Man. He didn't have special powers. He was a human. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a man. That's the power you have. The power of the Holy Ghost. Boy, you want to get somebody saved, get them to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. So, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is one of my favorite scriptures, maybe the first scripture I ever memorized, actually. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Is there anything more powerful than God anywhere? The answer to that is no. God made everything. God created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing more powerful than God. God is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That sin does not have control over you. It does not control your life. That bad attitude, that grump, that grouchiness, that hatred, that bias, that prejudice, that bigotry, that does not run your life. It is God who works in you to do, to will and to do of his good purposes. Amen? Amen? He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. How many things should we do without complaining and disputing? All. Sounds like my pond at night, the frogs. All. That wasn't a resounding all. Let me ask one more time. How many things are we supposed to do without complaining and disputing?
All.
Nice. I didn't write it. Complaining and disputing. We could have PhDs in complaining and disputing. And he says, for what reason? That you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Well, it's just too evil out there, I can't help myself. My father was like this, my granddaddy had this temper. You know, everybody in our family runs around doing whatever. Blameless in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Whatever's an offense to you, that computer's an offense to you, smash that thing. Do me a favor, smash it if it's an offense to you. Your anger, your of vitriol is an offense to you, God is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is in you right now working to do of his good pleasure. God is in you right now, the power that created the heavens and the earth, that took the chaos and the formless darkness and chaos and made beautiful systems of life, is what he's doing in you. And I like it. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast that word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. Jesus left his God power in heaven, but we have received of his divine nature. Isn't that wonderful? We have received, you have residing on the inside of you, his divine nature. God who works in you to will and good, do of his good pleasure. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Don't you hate it? You have all things. His life, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many? Say it again. All things. All things. All things. All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. Life and godliness. Are Christians supposed to be goody two-shoes? Yes. 1,000 times, yes. 100,000 times, yes, you're supposed to be a goody two-shoes. We want this big masculine Jesus who beats up everybody. Jesus didn't beat up anybody. He set people free. He preached the gospel at the expense of his own body, his own life. We want to have like a He-Man Jesus or something. He is a He-Man. You'll never get your mind around him. He's tougher and stronger than anything that you've ever confronted in your life, but not the way you think. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, and by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, if for nothing else, you should say, I want to know what those exceedingly great and precious promises are. If God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, I mean, the God who created Jupiter, the God who created Mount Vesuvius, the God who created the Amazon, the God who created the heavens and the earth, has given us what the Bible, he himself calls exceedingly great and precious promises. I want some of that. I want some of that. Are you with me? He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises. And you know what? We come in sort of lukewarm. We don't need to be lukewarm. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, what he's saying is, you're not just nice because you're a Christian out of your natural ability to turn away your anger and wrath, but that you have this divine impartation that overcomes your anger and wrath. That's a God power. That God's nature in you is a God power. And it's greater than what? Corruption and lust. It's a greater power. It's a God power. The darkness couldn't stop God from creating the heavens and the earth. And the darkness in you can't stop the divine nature from creating in you the nature of God. That's our purpose. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now he's going to give you homework. Add to your faith virtue. Okay, have faith in Jesus. Now what should I add to that? Virtue. What's virtue? Good. You become a good guy. add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. That means you got to read the thing. Know the doctrine. We're not haphazard readers of the Bible. Know the doctrine, what right doctrine is. Paul said, if anybody teaches you any doctrine other than the doctrine that I teach you, let him be accursed. So we're not talking about anybody's interpretation of the Bible. We're talking about tried and true sound doctrine. It's like cool water. It's pure. Yeah? Add to your knowledge self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. And you see, godliness is different than all of these other characteristics. Godliness means what? You like God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will... That's like an all word. A never word is like the opposite of the all word. You will never stumble. You will never stumble. Does that mean you're not going to make a mistake? No. But in terms of a genuine stumble, because that's when you fall down, when you stumble is when you fall, you will never stumble. So all of our mediocre Christianity, well, I'm just human, I guess, nobody's perfect, that is such a ripoff. That is so the voice of the devil, I'm telling you, that you may never stumble. Why, by trying hard not to be bad? No, by receiving of the divine nature, knowing that it's God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, and his power is so much more powerful than the power of darkness. And this place of God's love, I'm telling you, is a place you want to go. Our little happy little carnival selves want to preserve a little peace, you know, we want to have Sin City. We want to have that little bit of dirtiness in us. No, you don't. It's deception. You don't want it. You don't want it in you. You want to find out what it's like to live in Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to jump to one more place because this is where I started. You know, we're talking about all these great and precious promises, all of this great stuff that comes in God, this divine nature. How do we get it? How do we get it going? How do we get it moving for ourselves? And I think this may be one of the best little examples of that. Matthew 5, 21 through 28 says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. Now, we're going to follow this story through, and we're going to see that it's got a good ending. But here's the problem and the place where, frankly, I think a large majority of believers sort of peel off. This time period where he's answering not a word. I mean, he's God. And this woman... A woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him. Cried out to him. I mean, you're talking about desperation of a mother whose daughter was severely demon-possessed. Cried out to him. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. But he answered her not a word. How many people are stuck there? How many people never got to all of that glory and virtue and the good things of God? Because we go to Jesus and cry out, and we are expecting Jesus to be our wind-up monkey. We're expecting God to jump because we've acted in faith once. But he answered her not a word. right there is the tipping point. Not taking no for an answer. Not taking no for an answer. Not taking no for an answer. Because that just proves your faith. Desperate mother. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." The disciples didn't say, "Lord, you got to heal her. This poor lady needs her daughter healed. Lord Jesus, send her away. I'm the holy guy. I'm being trained by God himself. I'm the holy guy. Gosh, get rid of her. She's a Canaanite. Jews don't have anything. This is an ethnic thing here. Jews don't have anything to do with Canaanites. This is prejudice. This is bigotry. This is bias. So a woman comes, a Canaanite woman comes, and the disciples are like, "Lord, get her out of here." Don't you love it? You love how tough she is? And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." She wasn't crying out after them, by the way. She wasn't crying out after them. She was crying out after Jesus. But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It's a really interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that there's another whole Sunday in that thing, knowing the parameters of your ministry. Because Jesus knew the parameters of his ministry, essentially who he was sent to. So what he was saying was really truth. I was sent to the Jews first. The Jews get this message of salvation before the Gentiles can even get it. They had to reject him first, so then we would get a chance. Does that make sense? And then, she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Doggone mom. The mom who never gave up. The mom who heard about Jesus, who healed people. The mom who was willing to worship a man, to lay down at his feet and worship him. And she said, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good." Now you thought you were offended when God wasn't talking to you at all? He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Little dog, sounds like a puppy, I guess. Why? He's pushing her buttons. Do you know what that means? He's pushing her buttons. He's trying to see what comes out of her. He's trying to see what's inside of her. He already knew what was inside of her. He knew what was in her, which was not in anyone else. He's pushing her buttons. "I'm sorry, but I can't help you. It's not right to give the children's food to dogs. I'm a Jew. I've come to the Jews. You're not my ministry." "Aren't you offended yet?" He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Arf, arf. Arf, arf. "You're right, I'm a dog. What would you like me to say? You're right, I'm a dog. Absolutely, you're right, I'm a dog. Listen, my daughter needs to be healed. My daughter needs to be healed. You want me to be a dog? Absolutely, I'm a dog. But you know what? I'm going to get to this guy's heart. Somehow, some way, I'm going to get to this guy's heart. You're right, I'm a dog. Yes, you're right, absolutely." Now, she's worshiping him, so she's already down on her hands and knees. And he said, "She looks like a dog." So he said, "Not right to give the children's bread to the dog." She said, "Absolutely right, but dogs get the crumbs from the table." Then the Lord answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." Oh, woman. What's the smell of that faith, the aroma of that faith, the willingness of her to lower herself, be called a dog for the sake of her daughter, because of her faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, woman, great is your faith. You know, he was always scolding the disciples. Oh, you of little faith. Right? He never gave those guys a compliment. He was always walloping those guys. Oh, you of little faith. Peter's walking on water. 12 guys along the rail of the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. They think it's a ghost. They're not sure if it's a ghost or not. Peter has in his heart that he could maybe be there like Jesus. He had faith. He really had wonderful faith. Lord, if that be you, bid me to come to you. Jesus preaches the one-word sermon. Come. He doesn't give him the theology behind it. He doesn't quote a commentary. The one-word sermon. The sermon that he's preaching to you, and 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 to you. Come. You want to walk on water? Come. Come. I know it's a storm. Know you're in the middle of a storm. Come. Come. Peter jumps over the rail of the boat. He's doing the water walk. He sees the wind and the waves. And what happens to him? He starts to sink. Jesus grabs him and lifts him up and says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Why did you sink? You know how cool that is? Because there's no circumstances where you can't have faith. There are no human circumstances where you can't have faith. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Peter, you are such a knucklehead for sinking while walking on water. Now, 11 guys don't even get out of the boat. They're looking like most of us would look. Is he going to do it? Wow, he did it. It wasn't even in them to react the same way. All 12 didn't pile out and start partying on the water. Peter was the only guy over the rail of the boat, and he's walking on the water. And then he gets afraid. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Listen, we have needs. We're in dark times. It's a dark hour. But God desires a people. Desires a people to throw away our pettiness and to stand strong in him and cry out and pray desperate prayers of faith. Are you with me? Will we walk in faith together in this hour?
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a great message with us today entitled God Power. If this word has spoken to you and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me today? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that you died for my sins. I turn from my sinful ways and I place my whole life in you today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. God, thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to make this relationship that you've started with Jesus real. Those are four letters, R-E-A-L. The R stands for read the Bible. Start with the Gospel of John. E stands for encounter the author, which just means to spend time in prayer talking with God. A is attend church. Find a Bible-believing church and get plugged in and start serving. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. And the L is for let others know. Tell people about what God has done in your life and how he's moving and showing himself to you. Again, that's real. Read the Bible, encounter the author, attend church, and let others know. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and it's brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week. If this word has impacted you in any way, you can give online at cmcconline.org to give a gift to sow into the ministry of On Fire Radio. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. God bless, and we'll see you in church.